Edition of the Pewter Nation podcast. I'm Mark Cook, along with Scott Reynolds. Your cue, Scott, to say hi.
Hi.
And Mr. Trevor Sycamore. Trevor.
Hello.
There you go. You guys are finally getting this down after 100 episodes, part 19.
Are we at 19?
We are at 19.
Excellent.
That was a guess. I had no idea.
We nailed it.
Good job.
But congratulations to us on 100 episodes.
Yes. It's been 19. Quite the milestone.
Yeah. We tend to hit it every week. Anyway, we appreciate everybody listening and all of the great support we've gotten from everybody who has listened and, of course, our sponsors. I'm dragging, boys. This is a long season. I haven't even started Christmas shopping yet.
Oh, wow.
Assume with this team.
You're not going to get gifts in time.
I actually go to a store.
So you just go to Ross?
Sometimes.
That's what I do.
Bells.
So, like, anytime it's like, oh, I got a White Elephant gift coming up, I'm just like, I'm going to go to Ross and buy the same generic beer glasses that I've bought for the last 8 years.
Well, all my son wants is $190 sneakers, so I can go to any Foot Locker and get those. That would
$190.
Yeah, that's a little rich.
Jeez.
I'm not saying I'm getting them for him. He might get one. I told him when he sent me
one of them.
When he sent me his list over, I said, "Well, you're getting three things this year." Then it's so much easier when kids are young. You could almost go to the dollar store, buy $500 worth of toys.
Yeah, not anymore.
Used to open for weeks.
Not anymore.
Yeah.
No, doesn't work that way when they turn into teenagers.
Yeah, and I think, too, that a lot of this holiday joy that Buccaneer fans were feeling really got sapped out of the building in last Sunday's loss, and I don't think it's going to come back because I think they're going to run into a buzzsaw called the Baltimore Ravens on Sunday.
I don't know. I think they have a chance against the Ravens.
I don't at all. At all.
No.
I really don't. I thought they had more of a chance against the Saints, and they did for a half.
Look,
but
I thought they had a chance against the Saints.
Yeah,
and
I did
they should have beaten the Saints.
Yes.
So
going on the road against this defense,
I guess
I think the Ravens defense is going to eat
the
Bucs offensive
Buccaneers
line a lot.
Are so frustrating because every week I go into it and I'm like, okay, like last week, obviously this the Saints were kind of struggling. You saw the blueprint to beat them. If the Bucs defense was playing at home, and through three-fourths of that game, they were basically the better team. I mean, they started they were up double digits going into the half, and it's not like after the half the switch flipped. They got a forced fumble on Drew Brees the second play
and
of the second
they
half.
Turn it into points.
Like,
that's right.
Come on, man. Yep. It's just
then they get the ball back and they get a punt block.
But that's just so frustrating. It's not like I can look at this team every week and go, they don't have a chance.
Right.
You know, the whole deciding factor for everything is how are they gonna blow it?
Well,
that's it.
Right.
Trevor, why Scott and I are saying they don't have a chance. Because we have no confidence that they're not gonna find a way to blow it again.
But I just don't know. It's like every week they just find a different way to do it. So when I look at matchups, when I look at previews, when I talk about who's going to win the game, I mean, let's just look at the Ravens. Ravens defense, okay, they're stout. We'll get into that a little bit more. But Lamar, I've watched every snap of his for two of his four starts, okay? The one was the very first one, and the other one was this last one that he played in. He's timid to throw the ball.
Sure.
And, like, if you just – and I know containing Lamar is difficult. That's why they rush for so many yards. But, like – if the Buccaneers start lighting it up with points, I don't know how confident I am that Lamar could keep up because you have to throw. At that point, you take the running element out of it. So if the Buccaneers jump up for whatever reason, unlike they've been able to, but they have the talent to, then all of a sudden it's like, sure, here is the recipe to beat the Ravens.
I don't think that's going to happen, though, because I think that the Ravens front seven is going to dictate the terms of the game right from the get-go and put the Buccaneer offensive line on their heels.
I'll say that if this Buccaneers offensive line is as bad as we think they are, then they're not going to be able to score as enough points.
Yeah. I mean, the Ravens right now, they've got three players with seven sacks. It's not just one guy. Like, you got to worry about Jason Pierre-Paul and maybe Carl Nassib here in Tampa. I mean, they've got three guys. Terrell Suggs, who ironically played for Dirk Cutter at Arizona State.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, that's amazing.
He said at the presser today, which is Thursday, that Suggs and Skylar Fulton run the same team at Arizona State.
And Skylar Fulton is their wide receivers coach
Fulton
here.
Is well done with football and now coaching for the Buccaneers, and Terrell Suggs is still getting sacks.
Has seven sacks, yes. Along with seven sacks from Matt Judon, along with seven sacks from Za'Darius Smith. So there's three guys, and not just those three guys, but C.J. Mosley is a threat. There's other players that the Ravens have on defense with their blitz packages. They do what is commonly referred as playing mug fronts, mm-hmm. where they bring their linebackers up in the A and B gaps. And I think maybe Ryan Jensen has a little bit of insight, having been to Baltimore.
That'll help.
That will help a little bit. But he can't take his body and put it into Caleb Benenock's body and clone himself and be better than Benenock. I think Benenock's really going to struggle. I think Donovan Smith's going to have his hands full with Terrell Suggs.
Why? What would give you that reason to believe that?
I just think Terrell Suggs is a better player than Donovan Smith.
Yeah.
Even at, 16 years in the league or however long it's been.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think the offensive line really got exposed, and I think the New Orleans defensive front, their defensive line, did a really good job. But I think the Ravens are a better front, and I would assume that they're going to have even more success on the road. Or I should say at home, being a road game for Tampa Bay.
Do we have any idea what the weather is on this game?
It's supposed to be in the 40s, not brutally
it's
cold.
It's not like snowing, though.
Yeah,
so.
Not wintry weather,
thank
but like
God,
cold.
Because I'm going.
Yeah, I was hoping it was going to be like miserably cold.
Yeah.
Like sleep.
The second I get off the plane, anything below 50 degrees is miserable to me. Yeah. So
well, you're
going to
be in Mobile,
anyways.
So you have a chance there for some cold
weather.
Yeah,
Mobile gets miserable, too.
Yeah. So. And then Indianapolis, too.
Indianapolis was bad last year. Yeah. There was one night where it was like 20 degrees.
Yeah.
And that was, did not have the clothes.
See, growing
for that.
Up in Kansas, I remember that was the high some days where it would get into the
minus
temperatures.
I don't know how people do this.
It's going to be 23 today for the high. It's going to warm up.
I don't know
Let's
how
go outside and
this.
Play.
Yeah, I've never been in 23. That's not true. One time I went to Minnesota and it was snowed and it was probably 25 degrees, but it was miserable and I wanted to shoot myself the entire weekend.
I just don't know what the Buccaneers' motivation is because the playoff door is shut. And
I,
right
I
now
know.
It's the well, old
it's not shut is the problem.
Well,
is that that's why the, I mean I
they,
said
they
problem,
have like 1%
like,
chance of
but
making the playoffs.
All the teams in front of them suck.
Agreed.
Washington's not winning another game, okay?
Right.
Carson Wentz might be out for the whole year. He's not playing this weekend, and he might be out for the whole year. Who's the other team? Minnesota's not good.
Right.
They're just not good. Yep. And the Packers are bad.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers is going completely rogue, and they can't even beat anybody. They lost the Cardinals 2 weeks ago. Those are the four teams in front of them.
Do we say the Panthers, too?
Oh, sorry, the Panthers, too. Yeah. But you're right.
At some point, the Panthers will win a game.
But here's,
I don't think they're going to go over down the stretch.
The Panthers have to play the Saints. Two out of these three last
games.
That's
true.
You know?
Yep.
So it's like, yes, the Buccaneers are a complete underwhelming team this year.
A train wreck, yes.
But there is legitimately a possibility that 8-8 gets them in. Hell, there is a possibility that if every other team in front of them loses, they could go 7-9 and get in.
Yeah.
How stupid is that?
I can't. Well, that happened 1 year, right? The Carolina Panthers won the division. Weren't they 7-8-1?
6-9-1.
No.
No.
Yes.
It wasn't six.
Wins.
It was seven.
Yeah.
Seven, eight, and one. 7-8-1.
Got him in.
Okay, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, we know the.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
There was NFC West, and I mean, in 2010, when the Buccaneers missed out with their 10-6 record, the NFC West was one with
the
7-9.
The Cardinals
record
won, got in that year, I think.
You know, and the Packers beat the Bucks in
the
tiebreaker.
I thought it was the Seahawks.
Oh, it was the Seahawks.
Because then
they beat
the Saints in the first round.
Correct. It was the Seahawks.
As a 9-7 team.
Yep. You're right.
The bottom line is the Packers stole the Buccaneers championship because they won the tiebreaker at 10-6, go on and win the Super Bowl that year.
Yeah, stole. Yeah, yeah. For sure.
So there should be two trophies.
Yeah, Josh Freeman was like, "Aw, darn, gosh, I could have won a Super Bowl in Tampa."
All right, so we all think the Buccaneers really don't have a chance other than Trevor, who, by the way, told us to fire him if he picks the Bucs to win another game.
I didn't pick them to win. I just said that it's
he's already
really
on thin ice over the Cairo Santos thing from last week.
Well, so. I was right.
I know you
don't
were
you
right.
Don't you pay me to be right?
Yes, I do.
None of you guys had the balls to say he was going to miss a kick.
We didn't think he would.
We didn't think he would.
And that's why.
You didn't want to jinx the guy.
No. You know?
Yeah, no problem.
That's why I get paid more than both of you.
Yep, there
that
you go.
That actually doesn't happen. so,
you get paid more than the interns.
Hey, this is true.
That's true.
Which is zero.
I'll double their salary.
Hey, are we going to talk about the
the
Dirk thing?
No.
From yesterday?
Dead man walking at the podium?
Yeah, let's talk about
by
that.
By his own accord.
Yes,
not
let's talk
ours.
About that.
Not his first time he's made
I wasn't here yesterday, so
okay,
you guys
so
tell that.
All right, so
and then
let's talk about this first.
Right, and then we'll talk about how I started the whole feisty Dirk thing today with the offensive line.
Okay. First of all, they're going to play a game overseas. That's how we have to
right.
bring the background to this. What do you guys think?
London.
I mean, it has to be London, right? Yeah. So they announced five. The NFL announced the five home teams.
Right.
For the
both
overseas
LA
game,
teams,
and it was
both LAs, Oakland, Jacksonville, and Tampa.
And you've got to think that one of the LA teams is going to be
the Mexico City
game, yeah, right. just because that makes too much sense.
Sure. Jacksonville's pretty much like the London Jaguars anyway, so you know they're going to go.
Yeah, they are. So
with Manchester United,
you've got to think that the Buccaneers are going to
they'll be the
in
other
London.
Team.
The teams that it could be were. And these are the teams that are playing the Buccaneers, quote-unquote, at home next
right.
year, were the 49ers, the Arizona Cardinals, the Houston Texans, the Indianapolis Colts, the three divisional teams,
right.
and then whichever team in the NFC East finishes
correct.
At the same slot as them.
Yep.
So for people that don't know out there, if the Bucs finish in third in the
right.
NFC South, they will play the team that finished third in the NFC East.
Yeah.
And
it's not
going to
be Dallas, but it could be any of these three teams, the Redskins, the Giants, or the Eagles,
right. I think it'll probably
depending on the finish.
I think it'll probably be the Giants, but
right.
I don't even know at this point with Carson Wentz being out. So I figure it's probably going to be the 49ers because they didn't really draw well when they came to Raymond James this year.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't really drawn well at home. They haven't played in London since 2011.
Was it
13? I can't remember which.
Yeah.
It was one of those two.
Yeah,
they didn't
do it under Greg Schiano.
What?
No. The 49ers.
He's talking about the 49ers.
No, the
yeah.
Bucs haven't played since 2011.
Yeah.
I don't think the 49ers have played there since 2013.
Okay.
So if you assume that it's not going to be a divisional game, which there's actually precedent
yeah,
for
it
to
could
be a divisional
be.
Game,
right.
which is stupid as hell.
Yeah.
If the NFL does that again,
right.
they're stupid.
Well, it really puts the home team at a disadvantage.
Oh, my God, yes.
It really does.
You can't sit here and say that divisional games mean really
more
in the standings than
right.
other ones and then take a home game away from a team.
Exactly.
That is awful.
I agree.
That is just hypocrisy
yeah.
on you talking about competitive balance within the league.
Sure, but we also know the league is stupid in a lot of areas,
correct.
So they might do that.
And we know that the NFL team wants to have all 32 teams. The NFL wants to have all 32 NFL teams over in Europe at least once before
right.
they move a team over there.
Yep.
The Panthers are one of the teams that have yet to play over there.
Send the Bucks to Poland.
So, I really do think it's probably going to be the 49ers or the Panthers. It's going to be one of those two.
49ers, yeah.
That's what I
think. I could see the 49ers, yeah.
I would bet.
So, what did Dirk have to say about that?
So, Dirk was asked a question, and you know, because that was kind of the talk of a lot of people
sure.
on Wednesday. And Dirk was asked, hey, you know, it was announced that you guys were playing a game abroad.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that? And Dirk just kind of smiled and said, it just means that we have that there's going to be a game abroad next year.
Right.
That's all he said. And then the journalist kind of followed it up. And it was actually Gabby, I think, from Channel 8. She was just like, well, does that, you know, do you enjoy, like, games overseas? Because you've been a part of a couple of them.
Like,
and,
assuming he's going to be here next year to,
right.
to go overseas
so, you know,
with the Buccaneers.
Like, and so he talked about, you know, London game or overseas games that kind of are what they are. It's a little more difficult with travel, but you get over there and it's still a football game, blah, blah, blah. But then he said, I don't really have any input on that, though. We're just trying to focus on the Ravens this week, beating Baltimore, and the Buccaneers will handle that when they get there.
Yeah.
He said the Buccaneers.
He didn't say
he
we.
He didn't say we.
Right.
Now, I've gone over it a couple of times in my head, and I've watched the rebroadcast of it, and I read the quote. I understand kind of like what he might have been going for, but the natural reaction is to say we.
Right.
He didn't say that.
Yeah.
As if, like, he's not going to be here.
If
right.
If you haven't spoken to Dirk Cutter and you're the Glazers, and you're watching that press conference, what does that tell you as ownership group?
I mean,
did he read a lot?
Who's resigned himself to the fact that he's not going to be here next year? That he's already decided in his mind he's going to be fired? Or do you want to coach?
It's
here
just
and, hey,
not
we're gonna go out
a
there
good
try.
Look.
No, I agree.
It's so horrible.
Yeah, I agree.
It's a horrible look. And I was we Trevor and I both looked at each other right when he said that.
Yeah,
this is the first time he's made mention of the team.
Yeah, he's done it like a couple other times, right? Where just by what he's saying, and it may be his words and not like his true feelings. I mean,
or he could just be trolling us all.
Yeah, but it seems like he's not all in, and I don't necessarily think that's the case, but that's how. That's how it's coming across, and that's what the point of what you're saying is, Trevor, is it's not a good look.
Well, I don't know.
I spoke to somebody today about this. Maybe we cut this out of the podcast. Maybe I should have mentioned this before, but this person in the organization said, look, we all know what the score is right now.
Right.
Meaning that they, or this person, like Dirk, you know, he was making an excuse for Dirk. Not making an excuse, but he was saying, hey, were you really surprised by that? I mean, we all kind of know. That's what he was implying to me, that everybody kind of knows what's going to happen at the end of the
season. I think there is a difference between – because – and here's – so I'll say, Scott, I don't know if he's not – I don't know if he's not quite, like, all in. I don't know if I'd put it that way as if, like
– Well, I guess
– The way that I would put it is I think he's a little helpless.
I'm not saying that he's not all in right here, right now with the Buccaneers.
Yeah.
I just don't think that he's all in on his future with the team.
And that's fair, but I think I would say it as – the last couple of games they have lost, he has clearly been like
bewildered.
I don't know what to tell you. Like, I am coaching these guys the way that I'm coaching them, and they simply cannot do it. And that's what I've written in my Cover 3. You've written about that in your Fab 5. Mark, you've answered plenty of questions about it in the mailbag when it comes to Cutter. It's like there's not – it just never seems like even when he talks about, hey, what did the other team do that really confused you? And he says, it really confused us.
Yeah.
We just didn't do it.
Just didn't execute.
And that's got to be really, really frustrating for him.
Sure.
And at this point in the season, this is his – now remember, this is his second year in a row now that this has all happened.
Right.
You could argue that last year they didn't have the players that were quite good enough.
Right.
Okay. Totally get that.
Roster's but better this year.
This is the second year.
Yeah. And they're still losing these close games.
And they are losing.
Yeah.
So he – like Cutter at this point – now, so that's why I say to what you kind of said, maybe not buying into what might be next year or something like that, because – the dude's basically just putting his hands up at this point. He's basically saying, I am coaching these guys the way that I coach them, and we are doing things right. Mm-hmm. And when it works, it works. But it's not even that the other teams are doing things that are really affecting them that bad.
Yeah.
It's just
– they're screwing up.
O-line
the Bucks
can't
are screwing
block.
Up. Right.
Kickers can't kick. Wow. Yep. Jameis can't throw. It's something every single week. And Dirk Cutter, you've seen so many times at the podium. His, you know, the voice gets softer. He kind of mumbles into the mic. Like, I mean, he basically says, what are we going to do?
And if you look back at last year, there's those close losses at the end of the season by, I think they had three straight games in December. They were 3-point losses. And they just didn't have enough horsepower to get them over the finish line against Carolina, against the Falcons on Monday night, against the Lions here at home. And you could kind of make the excuse, well, get a couple more players, get over the hump, and, hey, you beat the division champion Saints in Week 17, so that's a nice way to end the season. But the problem is he's had those kinds of losses again this year with the more talented team, and it's not going to be this Saints game that's going to cost him his job or this Ravens game on Sunday. It's the Redskins game. It's the Bengals game.
Right.
It's the Falcons game.
It's the Giants game. Yeah. Yeah.
Those games earlier in the season, the Steelers game week 3.
Yeah.
It's those 3-point losses early in the season that have put them in the hole where they've got to win 2 out of the next 3 against really good teams that are fighting for playoff positions, meaning the Ravens and the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. And I hate to tell you, If they lose those two games, and now they would have lost 3 in a row, starting with the Saints game last Sunday, I don't necessarily pick the Buccaneers to beat the Falcons Week 17. That's a toss-up, if you ask me, right? Yeah. Because the writing's on the wall. I think last year it was, hey, you know, let's finish strong and let's try to keep Dirk around. But I don't know that there's that same enthusiasm level if you're still sitting at 5 wins coming into Week 17, and That's a pick'em game. That's a toss-up between the Falcons and the Bucks. That's just
– two teams ready to
– ready to pack it up.
Vacation and probably get out on their boat.
Yeah.
If they own a boat.
Well, it would be boating season at that point in time, especially here in Florida.
Yeah.
When it's actually boating season year-round. But certainly, if you're a player, if you're a coach, it's time to go boating in January.
Well, and even if the fishing isn't great, you can still go boating. But – what I would do if I owned a boat, I would take my boat somewhere in January to get it ready for that spring fishing season when the water temperatures warm back up in April. Because, You need your boat to be seaworthy, guys.
Yes.
We all know what happened in the Titanic, except me, because I still haven't seen it yet. But from what I understand, things didn't end well.
It did not end well for the Titanic.
And if you go back and look through history, had these guys that built this Titanic taken their boat over to T.A. Mahoney's and had it checked out, it may still be afloat today. So the lesson is, if you're going to have a seaworthy boat, you need to go to T.A. Mahoney's. You need to get it checked out. They can handle all of your marine needs, from a simple patch to a big patch, maybe an iceberg. Maybe you hit an iceberg out in the Gulf of Mexico. You don't know. If you do, T.A. Mahoney's.
You'd have to be a little south.
Probably called scientists, but, you know.
The Gulf of Mexico for that.
There's no icebergs?
No.
No. I thought the climate change. So maybe a bull shark rams your ocean liner.
Now we're talking.
And puts a hole in it. Well, if you've got to fix your boat, T.A. Mahoney's is the one-stop shop to do that. They're located at 50th Street in Adamo. Go see Mike. Go see Mark. Go see Matt. Great crew. Family-owned business since 1948. T.A. Mahoney's, your one-stop shop for all of your marine needs. Stop by. Say hello. We still are waiting for somebody to take us up on our offer to swing by T.A. Mahoney's, take a photo inside. And we've got a Quan Alexander signed 8x10 ready for you.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
First person that does that. You got to go to Twitter. You got to tag us, tag T.A. Mahoney's. Even though they don't have a Twitter, but you can do hashtag T.A. Mahoney's. But do that. Make sure to let us know, and we'll hook you up with a Quan Alexander signed 8x10 autograph.
Makes a great Christmas gift.
Absolutely. So anyway, T.A. Mahoney's, 50th Street in Adamo, tamahoney.com. Next, what else? Prediction time yet?
You can talk about how you pissed Dirk off with the question?
Oh, yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Well,
It might be that you're, like, got the camera, like, right in his face, too.
That's why. He told me right before he was about to go in, he's like, I'm going to ask Dirk a question that's going to piss him off. Because he knew the question. Not that you were, like, actually trying to piss Dirk off, but you just knew that the question was going to...
I knew what the reaction was going to be.
And I was like, all right, well, I'm not going to stand next to you.
Yeah.
Because you're going to be sitting there with your hands out and your phone right in his face, and I'm not going to be not gonna be
he
a casual.
Like looking right
him.
In the camera too.
Yeah, of course. All right. So what'd you
saw
say,
the Dirk Scout?
What'd you say?
Well, I prefaced the question by saying Caleb Benenock has really struggled this year. I think he's got 8 sacks given up.
The exact quote was Caleb Benenock sucks.
Did I say that?
No, you didn't.
No, you
okay.
Didn't say that?
No.
I was thinking that for sure. I mean, that was the implication. But I tried to be professional. I asked questions. So I made a reference that he wasn't playing very well. And I pretty much said, is this really the best you got? I mean, you can't put Alex Kappa or Michael Ledke in there, you know. And he got really kind of somber, and he had that
threw his Dasani water bottle at you.
No, he didn't do that. He probably was thinking that, though, as I was thinking that. That would have been really good, because I would have got that on video. That would have been like Dirk Cutter press conference in 3D with the bottle coming right at my phone. But... yeah, he just said, you know, we just put the people out there. We
feel
are the best guys out there.
Yeah, best guys out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is just absolutely damning. And then Rick kind of picked up on the offensive line.
Kappa, and like Kappa's not been good.
No,
can we just say that? Like people continue to cry for like just put Kappa in. Like Kappa's not been good.
Say what you want about Benenock being good, but I do agree with Dirk. I mean, there's a reason that Alex Kappa's not in there, because Dirk watches the same film we do. He sees Jameis running for his life. He sees Benenock coming off of a block and double teaming a defensive end and letting a guard run. I mean,
how
a tackle run free.
Is it that Kappa is not developed to the point where he can get in by this time, or at least Michael Ledke?
Yeah, it's like Kappa was like a 4th-round pick, wasn't he?
3rd-round pick.
All right, so like the last pick of the 3rd round.
Okay, well, I mean, Caleb Benenock was a 5th-round pick. So I don't know where you're going with that, but
they're both not good.
I know.
If good offensive linemen are prioritized in the draft, and you make it to the 3rd or 4th round, you better not be picking guys that you're like hoping you're going to start.
Well, you know who doesn't
in their first year.
You know who doesn't prioritize offensive linemen in the draft? The New England Patriots. Where's Jason Light come from? That tree of Bill Belichick that we can coach up 5 guys and get by.
Well, that's not true. They picked Nate Solder in the 1st round before. They picked Logan Mankins. You know, they've done.
Michael Mankins was 1978, Scott. Logan Mankins was 1978 pick. He's old.
I don't know.
They just picked Isaiah Wynn.
Yeah, 1st round.
Well, all right. Like I said,
Okay. Bottom first round.
Yeah.
Right. It's a first round pick.
Yes, exactly.
A lot different than being the bottom of the third round pick. Right. You know what I'm saying?
But I guess my whole thing is
well, you want Vita Vea or you want Quentin Nelson? Come on, Trevor.
I'd rather have Vita Vea.
This team would have picked Quentin Nelson for sure.
Absolutely.
They would have picked Quentin Nelson.
Absolutely.
Yeah. For sure. But the thing is when you
Can you imagine?
Oh, jeez.
Allie Marpet. Quentin Nelson.
God.
Ryan Jensen would look like a Pro Bowler.
Listen,
next
Buccaneer
to those
fans are listening right now and blowing their minds. You know Pewter Nation's going nuts right now.
There's no way they could have done that because then they would have had to have given up taking Ronald Jones because they had to package the second to move up to get Quentin Nelson, and that would have been a horrible mistake.
Yeah, would have knocked two birds out with one stone.
Yeah.
Imagine right now.
Damn.
I think
now Buccaneer fans are losing their minds.
And then they could have drafted Darius Geis with the other second round pick. So could I Quentin Nelson and Darius Geis?
They took Kareem Hunt the year before. Oh, wait. We don't care about Kareem Hunt anymore.
But, yeah.
Or Alvin Kamara. They could have taken him around the year before.
They
Chris Godwin's been good.
Yeah.
Not Kamara good. Not Kareem Hunt good.
What if they had John Kelly from this year's draft? Did you like Kelly?
Who?
John Kelly from Tennessee?
I didn't.
You didn't?
No, I didn't.
Did you just think he wasn't fast enough?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Yep. Yeah. That was my thing. I am
well. Rojo can't see good enough.
Yeah,
so.
I'm going all in on Daryl Henderson though. He's a first round pick in my mind. He just is. He's that good. Pick the best players.
What does he do?
He's a running back for Memphis, leading
the
nation in rushing.
I know.
He's a stud. And he
carries
just declared.
The pigskin.
Well, if you were gonna bet Scott on Dirk Koetter being back next year, and I don't mean me and you take a bet because you already owe me $5, but if you were
other way around
in a legitimate website where you could find the odds of coaches returning. There's probably nothing out there, is there?
Well, there's a place you can go for prop bets. I'm not sure if that particular bet is out there.
I guarantee you the coach thing is on there.
But
probably.
Yeah, they've got a lot of prop bets at mybookie.ag.
Yeah,
mybookie.ag has been a trusted Pewter Nation podcast sponsor for several years now, and I use mybookie.ag. I've not had a good year, but last year was good.
Last year you had a good year.
Last year had a really good year.
So all you got to do, you got to time it. You got to time it when you have the good year.
Yes.
And then get out.
That's right.
And then eventually you'll get back in.
Yes.
And then lose your money.
I'm coming
but then
back.
If you go down, the universe has got to pop around,
right.
So then you got to go back up.
I got to go back
in. And then
in.
You get out.
Yeah.
And, and then you get back in.
I'm getting back into mybookie.ag next year.
Of course.
I only do football. I don't do other sports, but I do football, and I do college. Matter of fact, you know what? I'm going to get back in for the college bowl game. That's what I'm going to do.
Should bet on Lightning.
Yeah, we go Lightning.
Oh, yeah, but, I mean, what's the spread? That's the thing. That's especially with the backup goalie like Louis Domingue, who I love, and he's played great. But
by the way, guess who's starting tonight?
Is Vassy back in net?
Back tonight.
Wow. That's awesome. Can't wait to watch.
Get better.
Big cat.
Yep. Well, listen, I highly recommend mybookie.ag. They are the trusted place to go. They've got the fastest payouts in the business. They've got a great offer. If you want to really increase your earnings and you can pick three teams that are going to nail the parlay, guess what? You can turn $100 into $600 just like that.
Real quick.
Mybookie.ag.
Real quick.
Yep. So it's time for you guys to get off the sidelines, put your money where your mouth is. And if you think that you can know who's going to win these games, whether it's the point spread, whether it's the money line, whether it's the over-under, they've got those types of bets, plus in-game betting and prop betting. They've got a great mobile site, and highly recommend them. Go to mybookie.ag, mention the promo code Pewter, and receive a 50% deposit bonus to help start your bankroll. That's mybookie.ag, promo code Pewter, and they will give you a 50% increase in your deposit.
Prediction time.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Prediction time.
Yeah, prediction time. I'm going to go the Baltimore Colts.
Throwback.
63-1.
Gee!
One?
Actually, not possible.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're just going to kick an extra point. They're going to take the touchdown off the board. They're going to say, you know what, you can keep the extra point.
Okay.
That's the John Gruden rule. Remember that against Pittsburgh when he was here and Bruce Gutkowski was the quarterback and they were down 20-0 and there was like 30 seconds left and Gruden decides to kick the field goal.
Yeah, he didn't want to shut out.
He didn't want to shut out.
Yeah, exactly.
God of the ego of coaches these days.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to go with the original Cleveland Browns. See what I did there?
Mm-hmm.
I took your Baltimore Colts thing and I turned it to the original Cleveland Browns.
By the way, without
Browns.
Mr. Malcolm, RIP. This would be the Baltimore Buccaneers playing.
Yeah, they would.
People forget about that.
That's true.
They were, Trevor, you weren't even born yet.
Correct.
This team was this close to literally being the Baltimore Buccaneers. That was the team. Peter Angelos.
Alliterations, it would have worked.
Yes.
You know, luckily the Glazers came in and kept the team here, and we were able to get the sales tax referendum passed and We have this wonderful team that makes us happy every Sunday because of it. Thanks a lot, Malcolm.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
Now, I think the Ravens are going to win 26-20.
My legit score is 24-17.
Yeah. And you know what's funny? The Buccaneer offense started off like gangbusters, right? 40 points. Scoring high, you know, like in the 30s for you know a few games on the road. I just think the offense is really kind of ground to a halt. That's really been an underreported thing is how few points this Buccaneer team is scoring these days.
Tell you they're leading, they're top 10 in 7 of 10 categories.
Except for scoring.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they still might be in the top 10 of scoring, but they were at one point number one and number two, and they've slid down. They're probably around 10 right now.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go 26-23.
Wow. Another close game. The Buccaneers lose.
Look,
in the end.
Listen. I can't really who's saying this? I think it was T-Kras who said this on 620. He's like, "Yeah, I expect the Buccaneers to lose by double digits, like multiple touchdowns." And I'm like, "I just can't even if he might be right, I can't bring myself around to say that just because you know that okay when they're down if they're down like 14 with 2 minutes left or whatever they're just gonna start chucking it
right.
They're gonna get a couple of catches they're gonna score it's gonna be pointless they're not gonna I just don't see them losing by double digits but obviously I don't see them being the mental assassins that they need to be to win.
You know, Jameis Winston threw an interception last week. It was in the last play, a little bit of a Hail Mary.
It didn't count.
Didn't count, but it does count in terms of him throwing an interception.
It doesn't.
But really, for three games, he has played without a turnover.
Yeah.
With the exception of that lone
gimme
play.
Right? It doesn't count.
The Baltimore Ravens, interestingly enough, for as great as their defense is, they've only given up six, or they've only taken the ball away six times.
Yeah.
With interceptions. No Ravens player has more than one interception. And so you have to think that maybe plays into Jameis's continuing to play well without turning the ball over streak, although this Ravens team can get the sack fumbles.
Jameis throws three or more picks. Does Dirk get fired after the game?
No.
Oh, man.
I don't think the Blazers do that.
No, they don't. Just
Jameis throws four picks. Four. No. Do they fire Dirk after the game?
Jameis won't be in the game past three interceptions. That won't happen again.
They're not benching him again.
No.
They
would.
No.
They would.
No.
Yeah.
Jameis is their quarterback the rest of the season.
Jameis throws – no, I'm just saying for the game. Like, he would start next week. I'm just saying, like, hey, Jameis just, you know, was having a meltdown, couldn't see the field, just wanted to get a spark. You don't think that with three interceptions on Sunday that Dirk pulls the trigger?
I think they'd let it go to four. But at that point, it's like four.
If it's four –
I
do I hear five? Do I hear five picks? Five interceptions. Do we hear five? Five interceptions. Do we hear five?
I'm just
five interceptions.
Doomsday scenario. If he throws four interceptions, I like.
Does he get benched then? If he's thrown four picks through the through the 5 minute mark of the fourth quarter,
I think they'll pull him.
Okay.
Yeah. I also think that you should fire Dirk after the game, if that's the point. Because if you turn the ball over four times against.
Yeah.
The team with the second least amount of turnovers in the NFL, like
it's are they the second least in turnovers.
Maybe it's just interceptions.
I think it's interceptions because they've created a lot of fumbles. They got some fumbles now because they got a pass rush. This team can get after the quarterback.
I don't know. I don't even know what to expect of this team anymore. I really don't.
Well, I know where I'm going to be tonight thinking about this when I'm having my salmon. Asparagus.
Watching
the Lightning play against the Toronto Maple Leafs. I'm going to be at Ford's Garage at the Brandon location. Come check out all the Ford's Garage locations throughout the Bay Area. If you live in the Tampa area, you're not very far from a Ford's location. Countryside, West Chase, Brandon, Wesley Chapel,
Hey-o!
Lakeland, Orlando, down in Fort Myers,
St. Pete,
Deer Beach, Dearborn, Michigan, absolutely, in St. Pete as well. Ford's Garage. USA.com is the website you can go to. They've got the menus for all of the locations there. They've got all their drink specials. You can find out exactly where the locations are by going to their website, FordsGarageUSA.com. Make sure to go check them out. Make sure to go have some great grub there. Trevor loves the nachos. Trevor loves the high-octane burger.
Mm-hmm.
Scott loves the rum cake. I love the salmon. But you can't go wrong. I've had multiple things there, including the lobster mac and cheese, a quarter pound of Maine lobster, in mac and cheese. It is delicious. I try and get Scott to eat some of that every time, but he refuses to. Apparently, he's allergic to shellfish.
Yeah.
I just want to see how allergic
he is. Pretty
much
the kicker right there. But you know what I do like? I like the mac and cheese with the pulled pork in it.
Yeah, that's pretty good,
really
too.
That's really good. That's what I substitute is.
I'm so hungry right now.
I know. Well, now you know where to go, Trevor.
Wrap up the podcast.
Yeah, let's wrap it up so we can go to Ford's Garage. Let's go to Ford's. Ford's Garage, multiple locations throughout the Bay Area, throughout Central Florida, even up north, as we mentioned, in Michigan. If you're listening in Michigan, swing by. Make sure to let them know that you appreciate them sponsoring the Pewter Nation podcast. Until next week, Monday, we will be back, and we'll wrap up the Baltimore and Buccaneer game, and we'll have another podcast for you. For Scott Reynolds, Trevor Sikkema, I'm Mark Sam. We'll see you next Monday with another edition of the Pewter Nation podcast.
Out. Oh.